you know, sometimes when you're in the middle of kind of a challenge, you need kind of a pep talk, you know, encouragement to keep going. Sometimes nothing seems longer than when you get halfway through something and then the second half is like, ah. Oh. I always told people that there's nothing that really helps me understand the size of our continent than driving halfway across it. Then I realized New Brunswick was more than halfway compared to Sacramento. You know, I always think of Nebraska as being in the middle. You combine the fact that we're on western Nebraska with the fact that the whole eastern seaboard is a little bit, it's twice the distance to New Brunswick from here than it is to Sacramento, California. We figured that out. It's like, wow. So there's nothing that really underlines how big this country is than driving two-thirds of the way across it. But anyway, that's the fact is you get halfway into something and sometimes you feel like, man, it seems like there's a long way to go. Back when the weather got really cold and snowy last winter, which I don't know if that ever really happened quite yet this winter, considering two nights ago we're outside doing s'mores in the backyard in our shirt sleeves because it's still in the upper 70s. And then last night we did s'mores and hot dogs. I'm thinking to myself, if the weather stays like this, our first grill out of the year is going to be this month in my backyard. That'll depend, obviously, because I know it's still technically winter. I mean, winter isn't over until Tuesday. And we're all running around in the backyard in shirt sleeves and bare feet, and it's ridiculously warm. And anyway, you don't know hardly to do with the weather. So I decided I needed to get back into running. That was kind of one of the things that I felt compelled to do as we began this time of fasting, is to get back into kind of my fitness regimen and see if I can work back up to running 3 miles. And I'm telling you, when you start running and you haven't run for a little while, you know, your mind plays a lot of games with you. You're nodding at me like, you know it. I mean, and I've been tracking other folks on Facebook, friends of mine that are into various, some of them are training for marathons and doing 5Ks. And man, sometimes there is a wall that you hit. You know, you might have run 5 miles 2 days ago and you start running and you get halfway into the first half a mile and you're like, I feel like I'm going to die. You know, and you know, there's a reason that Paul talks about the Christian walk being a lot like a race. There's a reason, because there's discipline, there are head games that the enemy plays with you, and regardless of what kind of fast, I know, and hopefully none of you are doing a cold turkey 40-day fast, because that would be kind of crazy, but some of you may have resolved to fast certain days or certain meals, and some of you were doing a full-fledged Daniel fast. You know, regardless of your choice of fast, my encouragement to you is to stand fast. And I thought to myself, maybe that's why we use the word fast to talk about a fast. You know, because yeah, maybe we're giving up something, but the reason we're giving that up is because we want to hold fast to what we desire to see God do. I was having trouble coming up with a title for the message because I had a bunch of different things. The title really is Stand Fast, with the subtitle being Stand Firm, Dig In, and Hold Your Ground. But then I also thought about calling it We're Halfway There, Don't Give Up. So it's kind of like it's all of these things. You know, we're halfway there, don't give up, stand fast, stand firm, dig in, hold your ground. You choose it. You can call it whatever you want. Today is just your mid-fast pep talk. Keep focusing on what you believe God wants you to do. Keep believing God for what you believe God wants you to believe for, and don't give up. First verse I want to read you this morning is Galatians 5:1. Now this is from the New King James, and this is where I got the word stand fast. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Now, being that New King James, that might not be, you know, it's not, we don't quite speak like that all the time. So let's see what this says in something a little more modern, maybe the New Living Translation. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. All right, let's fill in a few blanks here. The Apostle Paul often compares our growth as Christians to a race or even a fight. And so as we gain ground, and this is, I want you to think of this in light of this focus that we're having up until Easter, the spiritual focus of fasting and praying and seeking God's face for our church and for your life and for our community. As we gain ground, we need to make sure that we take steps to maintain our progress and continue to move forward. It's a little bit like mountain climbers. You know, when somebody's a professional mountain climber and they make their way up the face of the mountain, unless they're doing it completely freestyle, they're going to use various items that they have in their arsenal to make sure that they plant stakes and handholds and places where they can tie ropes to make sure that as they gain ground on the face of the mountain that they're not going to fall, and that if they do fall, they've secured where they're at so that they don't fall backwards. And there's kind of an application there spiritually. You know, when we begin to make ground, we've got to make sure that we maintain that ground. You know, it's like that physically when you're beginning a fitness regimen. It's like that when you're dieting. It's like that when you engage spiritual disciplines. You know, we begin to make progress. We've talked about how the enemy will come and challenge that progress, right? And he uses problems and persecution, and he uses distractions like the deceitfulness of wealth and riches and the lust of other things to try to keep us from making forward progress and maybe even cause us to slide back. And so as we're making forward momentum, we've got to take steps to maintain that momentum and make sure that we don't fall back. The scripture that Michael read to us earlier was from Ephesians 6. Let me read you the same scripture from the New Living Translation. A final word: be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. We have an enemy, folks, and he wants to take you down a few notches, more than a few. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers of this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Well, with that in mind, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. I guarantee you, when you're in the middle of something like we're in the middle of right now, and you're seeking God's face for answers to prayer and for progress, the enemy is right there to try to resist. So we want to take the armor of God and put it on so that we can resist the enemy. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. I get a picture of the dust clears, and you know the enemy has fired his shot, the dust clears, and you're still coming. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, the gospel, so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Now, the armor of God itself warrants a whole message or series of messages, but the reality is here, Paul is trying to give us a very vivid picture of being prepared with these things that God gives us to resist the attacks of the enemy. And they will come. We've established that. And they normally come because, or for lack of a better way to put it, for the sake of God's word. When the word of God is shared and it's thrown out there like that seed, the enemy wants to, what did we determine? Steal, kill, and destroy, right? He wants to steal it away. He wants to try to kill it. He wants to keep it from growing in your life. He wants to try to destroy it by making it ineffective. And that's what we talked about 2 weeks ago. And so to stand fast then, as it says in Galatians 5:1 in the New King James and in the King James Version, to stand fast is to do the three things that you see in the title on your handout. Stand firm, dig in, hold your ground. So how do we stand firm? Make the determination that you will plant your feet and stand against the enemy. See, you're not in this alone. And while the enemy might seem powerful and overwhelming, God says, I want you to stand firm in my strength. You know, when David encountered the giant, it wasn't, in his mind, it wasn't about David versus Goliath. It was about Goliath versus God. And who did Goliath think he was challenging God like that? And God says, I want to stand with you. I want to stand behind you and in front of you and give you the capacity to plant your feet against the onslaught. So stand firm, determine that you will plant your feet and stand against the enemy. Dig in. And this is preparing, and this involves what we just read, the armor of God. Realize where your righteousness comes from. Realize where your salvation comes from. Realize how you build your faith through the Word of God. Realize that the good news of the gospel is the thing that prepares you, that prepares your feet. You want some shoes that are going to give you some good footing. That comes from the good news. The belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God that is your weapon. Dig in, prepare, putting on the armor of God. Prepare for that inevitable spiritual battle. I say inevitable because there will be spiritual battles in your life. If you think you're going to be able to live for God and not have battles, I apologize for that. But the reality is the enemy doesn't want you to succeed. He doesn't want you to make forward progress. He doesn't want you to get ahead. And so he will do whatever he can to discourage you, to tear you down, to cut you off at the knees, and to cause you to fall flat on your face. Because if he can do that, maybe you'll give up. Maybe you won't try anymore, and you'll just kind of live a half life, a half existence, where you're not really, you're just trying to kind of lay low, kind of fly under the radar, not really doing anything for God, but not really making yourself a target for Satan. And that's what he wants. Going back to Mark chapter 4, we talked about the seed in verse 15 that fell on the footpath. The word of God being the seed falling on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represented those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. I just read that again as a reminder. If you're responding to the word of God, if you're growing, the enemy will try to come and smush that. He just will. Know that he's coming. Be ready for it. And don't be discouraged because Jesus says, I have overcome the world. John 16:33, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart. I have overcome the world. He's there with you, wanting to live in you, give you the strength to stand up to that. So you stand firm by planting your feet, determining that you're going to resist the enemy. You dig in by preparing, realizing that God has given you this armor that you need to put on so that you can prepare for the battle, and then determine you're going to hold your ground. And when you hold your ground, you hold your ground with the express purpose of overcoming evil. You hold your ground to overcome evil. This isn't something that God stands by and says, good luck, see ya, have fun with that. You know, I mean, God's like, you know, this is a step of faith where you say, okay, I'm obedient to the Lord. I realize that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so I want to stand firm in this, trusting that God's got my back and my front and that he's going to give me the ability to resist the enemy and to overcome the enemy, and to win this battle. Whatever battle it is that you're fighting right now is one that God wants to give you the ability to overcome. Sometimes it comes down to our decision to stand firm and to stand against it. We're reminded in James 4:7, he says, humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We forget that. Sometimes we're not very good at resisting. We don't resist for very long. But the enemy doesn't have much patience with resistance. And we resist, James tells us that he will flee. Or in 1 Peter 5:9, I like this one. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. Actually, I pretty much guarantee you a lot of people that are going through worse kind of suffering than you're going through. You know, sometimes we come to God with a Job complex. And the reality is what we're going through is pretty small compared to what others are going through. And they're overcoming. And they're having victory. And the enemy isn't tearing them down. So stand firm, stand fast. There's nothing that the enemy can throw at you that God can't help you overcome. A few practical keys to standing fast. Five things that maybe will help you this week. Know that strength and protection come from God's word. Okay, so this goes beyond just, you know, making a decision or being stubborn. You can do that. That's only going to go so far. The enemy knows that. You know, if it comes down to pure stubbornness, the enemy will win. Because you can only do this in your own strength for so long, and, you know, it's just not going to last very long without something more substantial, something solid to have that stubbornness and that tenacity based upon. And that comes down to the Word of God. The psalmist writes in the first psalm, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in what? The law of the Lord." Their delight is in God's word, meditating on it day and night. "They're like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." So there's a description of somebody whose delight is in God's word. You want strength? You want protection? You want wisdom? You want something solid to base your stand on? It starts with the word of God. Remember, we established that the word of God is truth. Satan is a liar. And so he's not going to stand against the truth, which is why Paul talks about the word of God being the sword of the Spirit. You know, in all of those descriptions of this kind of spiritual armor that he describes, the only real offensive weapon is the sword. You know, the rest of the armor don't make really good offensive weapons. I mean, you could throw your shoe at somebody, you know, but then you don't have a shoe. You know, I suppose you could kick somebody, but anyway, if they have a sword, I'd rather not. You know, you could throw your helmet or bash somebody with your shield, but the reality is all of those pieces of armor are meant to defend you from the various attacks that the enemy will bring against you, whether it's righteousness or faith or the good news or salvation or truth. These are things that are meant to defend you from the attacks. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, this is the weapon that you wield. It's truth to cut down the lies. The second thing that's going to help you stand fast, and it's not rocket science, it's prayer. You could write rocket science in there, but that would be wrong. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." See how there's this kind of link between your praying and your being alert and being persistent? You know, God's like, "I've got this open channel of communication, and you can come to me and you can talk to me and you can pray and you can request things. And if you're going to stand firm," he's like, "I'm here. I'm here to listen. I'm here to advise you. I'm here to give you wisdom. Speak and listen. Speak and listen. Pray." So the word of God has got to be the foundation if you want strength and protection. You've got to have an open channel of communication. Your motivation has to come from a heart of godly love. This is about God perfecting his love in your life so that you understand what it means. You know, so you love people the way he loves people. And you love him the way he desires to be loved by you. In a way that, again, you can't fake this. This is something that's got to be a change in your heart. But 1 Corinthians 16:13-14 says, "Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything with love." Everything. We're told to pray at all times and on every occasion. And then he tells us to do everything with love. So strangely enough, in this concept of understanding how to stand firm and stand fast in the faith, love of all things figures into it. You know, and it's not that fluffy concept of love, you know, and cupids and arrows and, you know, no. This is this concept of the Greek word agape, the agape love of God that he wants to place in you in a transforming way that gives you a concept of who he is and who he wants you to be. And again, the enemy can't stand against that. He can't stand against it. And even Hollywood writers understand there's something powerful in this thing called love that they don't even understand. How many times is there this archetype of a hero fighting against some other archetype of a villain, and the villain is coming against him, and the villain loses because the hero understands what it is to be loved and to loved by friends who love selflessly, and how he betray, you know, and the enemy doesn't get that because he's never had that. And even people who write this stuff down in their little movie adventures understand that there's something very powerful in this concept of love that they don't even understand very well. So we've got the Word of God as our base, as our foundation. We've got prayer as a way to keep those lines of communication open. We've got a motivated heart full of God's love. And then four, if you really want to stand fast, this togetherness thing really plays a big part. There's power in unity. There's power in standing together. There's power when there are others standing with you, believing and praying and fighting for the same thing. Philippians 1, 27 and 28. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, this is Paul writing to the Philippian church, I will know that you're standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. What did he say? I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they're going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved even by God himself. God's given us one another so that we can stand together and lift each other up and encourage one another, because there are strength in numbers. You know, I mean, look, when you're alone and struggling with something, when you have somebody that you can call and say, and just something as simple as, can you just pray for me or pray with me? You know, or you're going to be going through a tough time, and just the ability to have a few people around you to stand with you to help go through that process. How many of you played Red Rover when you were a kid? Remember that one? You know, I mean, if you were a smaller kid, you are always fine to bigger kids to stand between, right? You know, because you'd link arms, and then, you know, the other team, they'd Red Rover, we called, you know, Johnny right over, you know. And then you'd try to find the weakest point in the line, and you run through it, you know, and anyway. When you pull together in that, and you link, and you know how, you have all those different strategies where you would link wrists and link arms and stuff, and you'd be like pulling it together really, you know. Anyway, all those strategies of strength and pulling together and linking together. You know, it might be kind of a crude illustration, but the reality is, you know, Scripture tells us that in Ecclesiastes that one may be overpowered, two can withstand, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know, and when we pull together, especially in those times when the enemy is resisting and fighting, we weave ourselves together, and there's strength when we stand together and fight together, praying and believing. And then finally, this comes down to really our priority, the priority of our focus. Our primary focus always needs to be on Jesus. Keeping our eyes where they need to be. You know, our temptation is to keep our eyes focused on the problem. Our temptation is to keep our eyes focused on the challenge. Our temptation might be to keep our eyes on the enemy, not that we're focusing on the enemy, but we see what he's doing. And God's like, you know, if you really want to stand fast, keep your eyes on Jesus. And the rest of this stuff, as the one songwriter wrote it, will grow strangely dim. Psalm 16:8. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. Focus. Psalm 62:5-8. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. God's basically saying, I want to be there for you. I want to be there to strengthen you. I want to be there to uphold you. But your focus has got to be on me, or the enemy will manage to pull you away. You might be in the middle of winning a victory, and it's amazing how some kind of a satanic distraction can come along and cause us to fall, to sink. Talk to Peter about that one. Let me just close with a verse from Hebrews. A couple of verses from Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus." And we've talked about this, how the Holy of Holies was separate for a long time. Jesus dies, God reaches down, tears that veil in two. Because of the power of Christ's shed blood, we have the privilege of coming into the very presence of God. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. I want you to kind of latch onto this. Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope that we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. My encouragement to you today is whatever you've chosen to do over these 40 days, even if you hadn't chosen to do anything, you still got 20 days left. Or 19 days left. Anyway, do something. Determine. I'm gonna spend some time in prayer. I'm gonna fast some meals. I want to continue to seek God for things in my life and in my community and in my church and in my family that I really know that God wants to accomplish and to do. Let's not give up. Let's not waver in that. You know, it's easy. Oh, we're halfway through it. I forgot to fast on Thursday and Tuesday. I might as well just forget the whole thing. You know, what did I say at the very beginning of this thing? When we got started, you know, it would be better to have a fast in which you forgot to fast a few times, but did fast, than you didn't fast, than just having one where you didn't fast at all. You know, it's not about the success of how meticulous you are in keeping every jot and tittle and, you know, every little thing that you'd committed to. This is really about your heart and desire to draw close to God and to believe him for spiritual breakthroughs. You know, and you know as well as I do, you know, we live in a town where the enemy has way more control than he should have in people's lives. And in some of your lives, he's got way more control than he should have. And he's not going to lose that control if you just go home and watch Netflix or whatever and just kind of get on with your life and do stuff. I mean, you want to see God get some victory in your life, you're going to have to open the door to allow him to get in there and do the stuff that he needs to do to bring that victory. And that's only going to happen if at some point you say, I'm going to press through with diligence as I draw close to the Lord and allow him to do in my life what he desires to do and resist the enemy. Because if you don't resist the enemy is going to come in and he's going to make a mess of your house. And maybe some of you already has. So my encouragement to you, it's never too late to stand and say, you know, regardless of how successful I've been or what I've committed, I need to keep pressing forward. I need to plant my feet. I need to draw close to God and get the strength from him to overcome. And let's see some victory here. Let's pray. Shall we stand? Father, thank you for the opportunity to come together again today, God. And we're here today in the middle of this fast. You know, we've been seeking your face, believing for breakthroughs and miracles, changed lives and transformations. Our desire is to see your spirit move across our community, not just our town, but north of us and west of us and east of us and south of us, God. And we know that there are a lot of people that are just living for themselves because they don't know how to live otherwise. It's not a statement of judgment, God. That's just a statement of truth. And our prayer, Lord, is as we seek your face and turn from our wicked ways and see victory in our lives, God, that will be obvious and apparent to those who might be naysayers, those who might be resistant to you, and they'll see and will not be able to say anything against what you're doing because it will be so obvious that you're at work, that people will be drawn to you because you are being lifted up. God, I pray that we lift you up, that you are lifted up in our lives every day in everything that we do. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.